Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the one.
Good evening. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda McShann. Yes, today is Think Thursday. We have a lot to talk about, a lot to think about. We have a life coach coming on with us, Karen Berg, life coach, to tell us how to get you where we have to go. But before we get started this evening, you know I'm going to always give you that encouraging word. And today, I want to share with you, we live in an age where opportunities for profound life through life inspirations are all but non-existent. Life amusements bring only fleeting pleasure. They produce neither profound inspiration nor growth for one's life. By contrast, there's certain faiths out there that exist to enable people to realize potential growth and to improve their lives. These philosophies always are rooted in the reality of life. It is the wellspring of wisdom for bringing harmony and happiness to our families, local communities, and our society at large. We've gone through a lot of things. Things are happening. I cannot remember what day it is. But I know it's Think Thursday, and tomorrow we're going to find it out Friday from 8G. We have a life coach coming on with us, Karen Berg, that's going to give us some information. Tell us what a session is like, because, you know, in order to move through life, you have to know what to do and when to do that. But I'm going to give you my special lady right here just for some listening, and then we're going to take it on through. It is Think Thursday.
You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy. But there's just one thing, you see. We never, ever do nothing nice and easy. We always do it nice and rough. So we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy. But then we're going to do the finish rough. The way we do Proud Mary. Rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. Listen to the story now.
Left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. And I never lost one minute of sleep, and I was worrying about the way the things might have been. Big wind.
Rolling.
right. When you have a life coach, that life coach can guide you to your greatness. They can teach you how to ride on the riverboat, on the skateboard, or anything that you need to do. We have Miss Karen Berg with us this evening. She is a life coach, and she's going to share with us, for those of you who has never had the opportunity to experience a life coach, what is a session like? How does it get started? Keep in mind, life coaches are not psychiatrists. They're just going to give you that direction. But once you get your footing, you can ride on anything that you need to ride on to get to where you have to go. Karen Bird, are you with us this evening?
I am. Hi, Linda. Thank you so much for that great introduction.
Well, thank you for taking out your time and caring and sharing with us here on Waking Up with Linda Maxian. We are always open to get some information from you. So I'm not going to take up your time. I just put the word out there. What is a session like?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked, and we've talked about this a little bit before, and I'm happy to share with your listeners that a life coach, first and foremost, is there to listen and, as you said, guide and sort of help you get on your way. The primary reason that most people contact a life coach is because they want to make a change. And a lot of times a coach can help a person break their negative belief patterns and act more decisively and set clear goals towards achieving what they want from life in a lot of areas, by the way. And so a typical session would involve this discussion about where you feel stuck. And clients will, it's work. Life coaching is life work. It's working on your life. So when people come to me, they feel stuck, or they might feel directionless or dissatisfied, or as you and I have talked, Linda, sometimes they're simply seeking. And when you're seeking, you're willing to change, and you're looking for the next step or a better path. You know, people joke about it today. They say something like, so-and-so's living their best life, you know. It's become a catchphrase, living your best life. But we are lucky in many ways to be able to even be talking about what it means to live your best life, you know. And
right.
So it is kind of a luxury to take time out of whatever you are doing to look critically at where you are and to intentionally attempt to make change. And so a typical session would involve a lot of probing questions, and we can talk about that, the different kinds of questions and the different kinds of things that people are looking for when they come to a life coach.
Okay.
So where do you want to start?
Well, say if I've never had the opportunity to sit down and speak with a life coach, What would the first question that coach asked me? I know that you do preliminaries and you have, surveys that you put out before you meet initially with that person, so that gives you an idea. But where would you want me to start? It's not like like an old-timey job interview. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself. It doesn't go that way.
Right, right.
Kind of like give us an idea of once that initial meeting happens, once that client sits in front, what are the first things that you do? What do you look for?
That's right. And a lot of times when a client submits those initial, the answers, initial questions, or the kind of survey, they still don't exactly know what they want to accomplish. So usually what we start with is, talk to me about how you think I can help you.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they've already made some judgment about who I am as a life coach and the way I present myself through my website, my marketing materials. And they've made some connection to me based on how they think I can help them specifically. And, of course, I list some of the things that I can help with on the website, you know, specific areas of your life or challenges that you might be facing. But the next question is really important, because if someone comes into a coaching session having a sort of an idea of what they want to talk about in that first session, we get right down to it. It's like you said, we don't talk about backstories. We don't talk about their jobs. We don't talk about a whole bunch of problems and, you know, just unpacking a lot. The next question I ask is, and this is designed in these introductory sessions to make them very productive, at the end of this, and usually mine are 30 minutes, by the way, at the end of this 30-minute talking with me today, what would you think would be the best possible outcome, or what would you look for to take away from our talk today? And you'd be surprised how prepared people are when they come to the – some people will say, well, I want to know if you're the right coach for me and whether we should continue this. Some people will say, I want to have a clearer understanding of X, whatever it is they came in with. Or they'll say, I want to know what you hear from me and have a clear, you know, picture back to me or mirror back to me of what I brought to you today. You know, they have some idea of what a coach can do for them in 30 minutes.
Mm.
So that's an example of how you get started. And it's like a little dance. There are no prepared questions in advance of the session, but getting people started about how can I help you, what do you want by the end of this time today, really hones in on where you need to go. And then it is a bit of a dance, because whatever the client has on their heart or on their mind that day is what I listen to and directly address in that moment. And it could go any number of ways. I mean, the whole thing about life coaching is that coaches are very insightful. It's just the skill that you come with, and you're able to provide a sounding board. And what happens, Linda, that's so amazing to me and why it's so rewarding as a profession, is that when someone comes to you because they want your help as a life coach, they hand you a certain amount of trust in those first 5 minutes. And so that bond of trust is what allows me to be frank. I won't say blunt, but I will say candid. Here's what I heard you say. Does this sound right? Or the particular words that you're using make me think that this is a hard thing for you to talk about. This is hurting you, or this is Ned. Can you talk about it? There is a little bit of, I don't want to say therapy, but there's a little bit of the connection that a coach will make is related to what you're putting out. So whatever you're putting out is what I'm giving you back. And I want you to keep unpacking that. It's your job as the client or the person coming for the help to keep peeling back those layers of the onion. And I'm going to keep asking you those questions until you get the insight or the clarity that you need.
I got you.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. So I'm listening and I'm hearing. So basically, what is sort of like, and I guess you would say it is a dance, because whatever you're given, because you are listening, you're not there to really, how can I put this? You know how some people, they tell you what they think you want to hear, but a life coach does not do that. A life coach hears where you are and has the ability or the skill to go right to it.
That's right.
That's what I'm picking up. So I'm saying that if the individual has a desire or is showing that openness to come, the trust has to be there. But when you, because you deal with so many different personalities, I find that most people do not like to hear the truth. So when you zero in on where you think they're seeking, and you give it to them and they come back, where does that take you? I mean, it takes a lot of skill, and it takes a lot of breathing exercises to be able to just hold that steadiness and give that client exactly what they need, right? So you have to really
You're right, and I had an experience with that recently, and let me just tell you a little bit about how that went. Because, it's not in my nature to be you know me, Linda. It's not in my nature to be harsh.
Right.
And anyone who experiences me, who allows me to be direct with them, knows that I'm coming at them with a good heart and with their best interests in mind, right?
Okay.
But I did have a client. I had a client who was telling me that her job had been cut and it hurt. And she had worked for that company and given it her all and felt important and valued and part of that team for 20 years. And she was scared about her future. She was not only hurt, but felt rejected. And through the reframing during our conversation, which was very emotional for her, she actually did cry several times. We went through this whole discussion, and the reframing part is actually me listening and playing something back to her to try to help her cut through that pain that she was feeling and just try it, because coaches can help change your perspective if you're willing to listen. So let me tell you, I won't tell you what I said right then, but I will tell you that what she told me 2 weeks later is that the thing that I said completely changed her outlook, and that even though it was hard to hear at the time, it was the one thing she needed to hear the most. Now, let me tell you what it was.
Okay.
And you know me, I said, I wasn't being mean, but I said, we were talking about what it is like from the business. And this, by the way, her position was, she was told her position would be cut before the pandemic. It had nothing to do with the current economic situation. So this was a couple of months before that, and they actually had not made any moves to change her position or to eliminate it even before the pandemic. So some time had passed, and so we talked about whether she had revisited and asked them if they still intended to cut. That's one important point. Instead of it hurting so much, can you go back and just confirm that they actually still plan to do that? That's one thing. She said, oh, I hadn't thought about that. And the other thing is to let them know that it would be helpful to her to know when they plan to do that rather than keep her waiting, because she wants to make plans for her life and future.
Yes.
These are two things that she had not been able to think about because she'd been so emotional and in pain about it. And the third thing was, I said, if you think about their perspective and they're making this decision because it's a business decision for them, I said, it isn't personal from their standpoint. You did 20 years of great work for that firm. They're changing the position is not personal. It's just a business decision. And those were the words that cut through for her that made it okay for her to not feel bad about this anymore. She actually said, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to get some clarity with them. So this doesn't sound like a big thing, Linda. I mean, but in 30 minutes, that introductory session, just guiding her through that paralysis that she was in and helping her come to the conclusion that there were some small actions that she could do that would give her some information and give her back some of her power, and also let go of the feelings that she was having of rejection and stuff. So it's not like tricky, but I was pretty direct with her. So as blunt as that sounds, saying this is not personal, this is just a business decision, she let me know it helped her gain a new perspective. And when she saw these events unfolding from that perspective, she understood it and could make it less personal. And it felt less like an indictment on her talent and more like a logical business decision. And it may have been hard for her to hear at the time, but again, she said later that it was exactly what she needed to hear. Now, I have another example like that.
Okay.
I have another client had hit her ceiling at her job and she didn't have a formal education. She came from a first generation, she was first generation, immigrant family, and no one in her family encouraged education. And she has a public agency job where she knows that her opportunities without a college degree, quite too bad, but some organizations are like that. If you don't have a college degree, you just can't move up. And she's still young enough where she wanted to be able to grow and learn. And she was willing to explore places where she could gain skills that weren't necessarily needed at her current job, but could help her train for something in the future. And she wasn't wanting to rock the boat. She didn't want to change her current job, didn't necessarily want to leave that public agency, but she had talked to her boss and there weren't any opportunities. So in the space of that 30 minutes, she actually came to the conclusion on her own that the skills that she could learn for herself, for her own growth, even if they didn't help her career, was to be a better writer. And through our conversation, she decided the action that she was going to take was going to be to research courses that she could take online that would help her with her own writing skills. And the words that I said during that session that she played back to me later that she said blew her away and that somehow changed her perspective was when I said to her name, I'm not going to say her name now, but I said,
okay.
Because, by the way, I'm a writer. I've been a writer in my career for the past 30, 35 years. I've been a writer, and I said, we have an old saying, every editor needs an editor. And she shared with me later on that those words are exactly what she needed to hear, because here's what her thought process was. She thought that she could never get good enough as a writer starting at her age, and that somehow these other writers who were so good at what they do had reached a pinnacle that somehow she could never reach. But I told her the reality of my experience as somebody who has a journalism degree who's been writing my entire career is that even the best writers I had worked with throughout my entire career still had other people reading their work and making improvements to it. And even the masters of a particular skill need others to assist them with making their work better, right?
Yes.
So when she heard every editor needs an editor, it was just what she needed to hear, and it helped her get unstuck.
Whoa.
Those are kind of blunt. Some of these are blunt words. Some of these are just reality checks. Another one, I have one more example like this that kind of gives you the meat of what it feels like to go through a life coaching session. This was a colleague of mine who had spent, she spent 30 minutes with me after losing her job of 20 years. Mm-hmm. And this was right at the beginning of the pandemic. But what happened was she had an advanced degree, a PhD. She had a title, a high salary, respect, responsibility, a high-profile job that works. And it appeared to her that the elimination of her position was mostly a cost savings for the organization, so she didn't necessarily take it personally like the other client did that I mentioned before. But it still hurt because it was 20 years with that organization, and she wasn't sure, since she'd been sort of outplaced, whether she wanted to try to replace her job at that level, this high-level PhD, six-figure job, or find a different or less responsible job, or change and maybe hang out a shingle and work as a consultant. And because I worked as a consultant and a coach, we talked a little bit about how I had made that transition myself, leaving my job that was similar to hers. I left a job that was similar to hers 2 years ago. And she told me 2 weeks later, when she heard about this transition, it was incredibly uplifting and valuable to her. And she knew what she was going to do to continue to take action to look for maybe other jobs and also build her own consulting practice. And she posted a sticky note on her desk at home that quoted what I said. And what I had said was, I love the life I have created.
Okay.
And she wrote on her sticky note, Linda, she told me, she put a little sticky note that said she created a life that she loves.
Okay.
And you know what? That was like the most profound thing for me as a life coach, is that whatever words I said, you know, you never know how what you say will impact somebody at the time. But these are three stories based of about a month where they all have come back to me and said, this is the thing that cut through for me.
Wow.
So that is what it can be like. That is what it can be like when you're well matched. So it's important for the client to have a good feeling about the life coach that they sign up with. You know what I'm saying?
They
because
have
that
the
chemistry
trust there.
Is
yes.
Yeah, the chemistry is super important, and I can't explain how it happens. To me, it's a little bit of magic. But I've had coaches before, and I've felt like the same way. When I've taken my issues to them, I have felt like I had breakthroughs, which
mm-hmm.
is what made me want to be able to do that for other people too. And so far, so good.
Well, I'm listening, and I know that it is a skill. It takes patience. It takes knowledge. I have not had a life coach per se that I sit in front of and bounce things off of. My life coach is, I guess you would say, just reflection and mirroring and using the mirror and meditation and reflecting back. But it's always good to be able to sit face to face and speak with someone that trust is there, and you know that they're not going to give you a bunch of flaps. See, a lot of individuals, if they're whatever business, they take their clients and they're just looking for the income to come in. But you can really know, like yourself, when people come back and say, this is what you told me and this is what I reflected on and thank you so much. That's the kind of coaching one wants to look for. Now, is it easy for you to, does it matter if it's someone that you've known a while, you know a lot about this person, and they're coming to you as a coach, or you know a little bit, or would you prefer to work with perfect strangers, or does it
that's
even
a, that's
matter?
A great, great question. That's a great question, Linda. And, you know, I just named of those three stories I just told, I knew one of them.
Okay.
The other two were complete strangers, and I have a fourth client now who I've known for, I don't know, 25 years. And
okay.
it was interesting shift taking this gentleman on, because we've been friends and
okay.
have worked together. And so what was interesting about that dynamic was, okay, take off the friend hat and put on the coach hat. And he's been an amazing client because there is a bit of a shorthand in the way we communicate, because we have had that time to get to know one another. And the other thing is, the trust is there because he knows I know him. Now, the other, you know, and I can speak very bluntly about what I see. And also the questions that I ask him, I'm always careful to check in with them and say, does this sound right? Have I characterized this correctly? Do you agree with my perspective on this, or do you see it differently? So I'm always checking in with him too. You know, I want to be extra careful that I don't assume stuff with him just because I think I know him better. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the other ones have been complete strangers, and in some ways that's even better, because they divulge more and they feel like they want to get to the heart of the matter, and they just kind of lay it all out. They just lay it all out, you know. So that's been very interesting for me. And like I said, I haven't been at this a real long time. You know,
you've been longer than you think, because you were professors in classrooms with serious adults and things of that nature. So, yeah, you've been a coach a long time. You're just doing it on a different level because your honesty and not saying your bluntness, but your directness can shake one up to really get them moving, to put them in that direction. That's why I use that word direction.
Yeah.
So, no, you've been at it a long time because
yeah.
I know we were some...
Well, people give you that. People give you that... But this is what's important about that exchange, Linda, and we had this when I was your professor in graduate school, is
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you as a student, you would give me a certain amount of permission to help you grow because
yes.
I was in that position as the, quote, teacher.
Right.
And I remember telling you, don't worry about your writing. Don't get caught up in your head. Just say what you want to say. Don't worry about the style of the paper or the perfection of the way the sentences are structured and all that. And you remember us talking about stuff like that? Because
oh, yes.
what I was seeing was the quality of your thoughts.
Okay.
And that's what's important. So I was able to tell you, you know, you've got the right ideas. You are on the right track. You know this. You have this figured out. Stop being hung up on whether it's the perfect paper or whatever, you know.
Well, that's what stuck with me, the quality of my thought. And from those words and from that class, it was some remarkable things done. I think of it all the time, and I still go with the quality of my thought. I said, you know, I'm not going to try to write like James Baldwin. I'm just going to put it down the way I feel it.
Yeah.
And I've had people
yeah.
that I call in the South, they go booger hunting. That's what we call it. They go in the booger hunting, so they don't call back and tell you about the content. They're seeking the mistake. Well, when I pick up on that, then they get another side of me. Well, you know what? Karen Berg, the life coach,
yes, ma'am.
We talk about this. Can you give us information on how one can contact you? And on that note, I'm going to ask you ahead of time. I know you have a busy schedule, but we would like to have you come back and share more and more and more. I love the examples on this. So how can one contact you?
I think the best way is to just go on my website, which is Karen Berg, KarenBerg.com.
Okay. Okay.
That's the first thing. And then
okay.
if somebody wants to, they can either email me directly on the site. There's a place to do
okay.
that. Or they can book a session. They can actually book
okay.
one of those 30-minute sessions.
So I'm coming out once everything opens up, and as I tell the young adults, you know, we go through life. So our situation, you know, we talked about the different cultures of the organizations, the cultures of the community, and each community, each person is different, and I just cannot wait to sit in front of you and see what I get out of those 30 minutes. I hope that we're not throwing chairs and shoes at the end. You know, I'm kind of tough to, you know, get through to once I make my mind up. But I cannot wait until this opens up. I'm definitely coming as a client, and I'm going to bring others.
Oh, I
with
love
me.
It. Well,
oh,
I
yeah.
love it. Well,
yeah.
well, we do. We look at perspectives. We look at behaviors. We look at emotions. It's hard to describe, but when you come in as a whole person, I'm looking back at you as a whole person.
That's
and
right.
we're talking about what success looks like for you. If there's something
yeah.
you want to change or something you want different, or if you feel that there is, you know, that you're getting in your own way in something that's I'll call it a bad habit. You know what
okay.
I'm saying? Like I keep bumping my head against this. Why isn't this working for me in my life? And if
okay.
you're honest about it, there's probably something you can do to learn a different way to go about it. You know what I'm saying? But it's having that. And coaches do give homework. And it's funny because I'm always careful with a new client. I don't want them to feel like they're taking on too much. But
right.
so we work according to what you are willing to do, and a lot of times those are baby steps. If you say,
right.
"Well, I'm gonna take some steps after this session before we meet again," and for me that looks like blah blah blah. Okay, that's up to you, you know. But there are, I don't want to call them assignments, some ways sound like a teacher when I say that. Coaches call them field work. So
okay.
It's like
well, we like working.
But we call it field work.
I like working in the field. And on that note, if you could give a statement to the listeners before we say goodnight, what thing? I'm writing down what success looks like for you. That's what I wrote. Is there any statement or phrase that you would like to live for the listeners?
Well, I have one, and it's not original, but it comes from, and I love this, and I kind of keep it in front of me on my desk. Jeff Dunton, who's a sci-fi writer, says this, and it makes me think of the way coaches work. The quote is, "A good tool inspires the way you work." Or I'm sorry, "A good tool improves the way you work."
Okay.
"A great tool improves the way you think."
Oh, okay, the way you work. A great tool. I'm writing this down.
A good tool. Yeah, let me say it again because I messed it up. A good tool improves the way you work.
Mm-hmm.
A great tool improves the way you think. And so for me, that is a summary of what a life coaching experience can be like. It's a great tool that can actually help you change the way you think.
Well, on that note, Karen Berg, and we're going to send people. I'll be speaking with you. I want to extend my appreciation, and the listeners love it because we all need good direction. And, it's something about a coach. It's something about coach. And we'll talk about that in the word. It's just a few things there, but I look at a life coach as a person that's putting you in the right direction or giving you a map. It's up to you how you follow it. But at least they're going to bring it to you. And on that note, we're going to say thank you so much. And I will be speaking
with you.
And I will be inviting you back. So I'll give you a call later on. Thank you. Thank you. This is Karen Barrett, life coach. She's going to put you in the right direction, listeners. Just think about it. What does success look like for you? And I'm going to leave you with that. And this tool, a good tool, improves the way you work, and a great tool improves the way we think. And since this is Think Thursday, we're going to leave everybody with that thought this evening. Karen Berg, life coach, thank you so much, and have a great evening.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Good evening. We're closing out. This is Think Thursday, and I want to leave a reminder for all of you out there. You know what we have to do. We have to stay safe, strong, woke, and happy, and we also have to let our souls flow free. Stand strong, stand up, and stand together to build better communities. This evening and from this evening forward, reflect, rejoice, reflect. And relax, but never, ever retreat. And I'm saying that to all of my change agents out there, take your power to the polls. We must vote. And the last thing I want to tell you, in which I believe in, and I want you to keep it on your brain, is step into your greatness and stay there and take others with you. You have to teach them to do the same. Have a great evening.
Never ever,
never ever
felt this way. Make me the path for that I mustn't fear, or I'll know deep in my mind.